Bibles, please, for our first reading to the first chapter of Hosea, the prophet Hosea. Hosea chapter 1, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word of the Lord that came unto Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go, take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while upon the house of Jehu, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now, when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so, excuse me one second. All right, so we come now to the prophet Hosea. There are some wonderful works that you can get on the prophet Hosea. One of my favorites is his commentary on Hosea by the Reverend Jeremiah Burroughs. Always a good read. Burroughs has a commentary on the book of Hosea. There are others. Of course, we always recommend Matthew Henry. We recommend Calvin. We recommend John Peter Lang and others. We enter immediately into a controversy when we come to the book of Hosea. There are some things that are said here that are difficult, and scholars and theologians have found them quite difficult throughout time. Who is the prophet Hosea, first of all? Well, his father Beeri is mentioned, probably indicative of some social standing, some man of renown. Of course, that renown is gone now. We don't know what it was. He is from the northern kingdom, Israel, and prophesies to them. Dr. Gleason Archer, in his introduction to the Old Testament, detects, and he would be the one to do this, he was fluent in 11 ancient Near Eastern languages, Hebrew included. He hears a far northern dialect in his writing style near the Syrian border. So we have, he's a prophet to the northern kingdom and way in the northern kingdom, way up there. The time of writing is difficult to develop with any certainty, although we have the names of these kings. Don't you find it interesting that although he's a prophet to the northern kingdom and speaks to the northern kingdom, that the first mention of kings is actually southern kingdom kings? And this is to recognize the legitimacy of the worship in the southern kingdom according to form, not perhaps according to practice, and the illegitimacy of the northern kingdom according to form. So he mentions the kings of the southern kingdom first, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And so it appears then that he prophesied all the way until the fall of Samaria, 722 BC, which happened during Hezekiah's reign. So quite a lengthy term of prophecy for Hosea. And we have 14 chapters probably written over the course of several years. All right, so now the purpose and scope of the book is to speak of the infidelity of the northern kingdom. The Lord will call it a spiritual adultery, and of the Lord's redeeming love and the deep and sore chastisements upon that wayward people. The final section speaks of the restoration because of the Lord's unfailing love and gift of repentance. The outline of the book, how about a two-part outline? Can you remember a two-part outline? Okay, so it is the training and the teaching. The training of the prophet, chapters 1 through 3, and the teaching of the prophet, chapters 4 through the end. The prophet is trained in his own family life. It's a hard kind of training. He is told to marry a woman who is an unfaithful woman, a woman of whoredoms, a harlot, if you will. Scholars are divided as to whether or not that's an actual command to do that, or if it is given in some kind of visionary or idyllic statement. I'm convinced that it's real. That when Hosea went to marry Gomer, that she was not unfaithful at that time, and she proves to be that kind of object lesson that is indeed in keeping with Israel of the north, because they didn't start out as idolaters, but very soon after they turned aside. Remember that God gave 10 tribes to Jeroboam to rule over from Rehoboam, and then it ended up that they turned aside very quickly. We have the three children that are born here, and each of them speaks to a particular movement of the prophet, which we'll get to in a moment. The outline of the book, again, we said 1 through 3, is the training of the prophet. So his home life is symbolic of the nation's punishment and restoration. His marriage with Gomer, a potential adulteress. The children are Jezreel, Lo Ruamah, and Lo Ami, and these are real children that are obviously symbolic as well for the estate of the northern kingdom. And then the triumph of grace at the end of chapter 1 through chapter 2, the domestic tragedy, and then the dealing with Gomer, a command and a revelation, chapter 3, 1 through 5. All right, so then in chapter 4, the teaching of the prophet, national pollution and its cause. That's chapters 4 through 6, the early part of chapter 6. National pollution and its punishment. That's 6, 4 through chapter 10. Then we have chapter 11 through chapter 14. God's inalienable love dealing with his wayward people, their exile, and the final appeal to repent. So that's a basic introduction of the book of Hosea. We dive into the text now. Of course, Hosea, that's the same word, Hoshea, which means salvation. And so the Lord comes to him and makes him a prophet. Hosea reckons the dates of his ministry according to the southern kingdom, not the northern kingdom. In this, he understood the northern kingdom as the usurper and the southern kingdom as the rightful kingdom. Then the instruction to take a wife of whoredom. This is an historical circumstance, and it is also an object lesson, because this land, this northern kingdom, has committed a spiritual adultery against the Lord. And so they will have the same kind of historic understanding as Hosea will in his family. See how this domestic story is played out. First of all, his wife is the daughter of Diblaim. Dibleim means a double offering of raisins. Why is that significant? Because you didn't offer that to the Lord. The double offering of raisins was a heathen offering. Her father's name is Dibleim. Gomer by name, which means to bring to completion or to an end, sometimes in a good way, sometimes not. Here it speaks about the end of the northern kingdom. Then she bears him a son, and they call him Jezreel. This is Hoshea's son. He is named Jezreel, and Jezreel means to scatter. So the people of the north will be scattered. In the comment about the blood of Jezreel and the visitation upon the house of Jehu, we remember that Jehu, while he did some good things, it was for a poor motivation. Jehu decided that he was going to be king instead. Remember that? And so what did Jehu do? Jehu ended up killing all the prophets of Baal, but then he set himself up as the king over Israel when he should not have done so. And so this scattering will be a part of the visitation that the Lord will visit upon the house of Jehu for his illicit, even though he did some good things, for his illicit grasp of the kingdom. Then note that she conceives and bears a daughter, and there is no word on the father being Hosea here. And this is indicated in the name as well, Lo Ruamah, which means no mercy. This is not just a bumper sticker that you put on your back window. The Lord says, I will not have mercy upon the house of Israel. Lo Ruamah. And so then, this in this domestic tragedy, we see the object lesson to teach the children of Israel their own idolatry and its consequences. They have a prophet in their midst, and he's told to name his daughter, no mercy, so that they would understand that the Lord is threatening to withdraw his mercy from them, except they should repent. They had departed in the Lord and worshiping other gods and the true God by false means. Hence, the Lord displays their own sins to them in an object lesson from a sad prophet whose wife commits adultery and the child is named No Mercy. And what a terrible thing it is to live without the mercy of God. So then we move on for the sake of time. And then when she had weaned Lo Ruamah, she conceived and bare a son. And the Lord said, here's what you're going to call him, Lo Ami. Again, it is not said. And let me make sure that we get this explicitly. It says with regard to Jezreel that she bare him, Hosea, a son. It is not said that about Lo Ruamah and Lo Ami. Their fatherhood is in question, in other words. So then, Lo Ami, I will not be your God, and you are not my people. Lo Ami means not my people. Am, people. Ami, my people. Lo, not. Lo Ami, not my people. You are not my people, and I will not be your God. So then, another child. His name is interpreted as before. And so, notice, why did the Lord cast them off? Deuteronomy 29:19 through 26 tells us the reason. They went and served other gods and not the Lord. And remember that once we allow to intrude into the worship of God our own pleasures, this is the first in a series of steps to apostasy. Verses 10 through 12, however, we have interpreted by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 9, verses 25 through 26, and then Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. Speaking of people that have sinned against the Lord and have no reason to call upon Him as their God, this will be applied to the Christian church, where it is said, of those of whom it said, I will have no mercy, I will have mercy. And of those of whom it has been said, they are not my people, they shall be my people, the Lord says. And so the Lord ends chapter 1 with a point of mercy instead, with a point of forgiveness and grace instead. Because, why? Because the Lord has loved His people with an everlasting love, and He has not cast off His people whom He hath foreknown. All right, we'll stand and continue.